Hello, you're very welcome along on this latest audio walk with me, Tom. Although I say with me, Tom, you'll also hear some other voices on this audio walk today. That's because it's a collaboration between Open Country, My Site York and York Bike Bells. We're going for a sensory wander through York. We'll head up the River Ouse from the Perky Peacock Cafe, over the railway bridge, and then into York Museum Gardens, in search of things to see, smell and touch. In a moment, you'll hear from Sheridan, who's going to lead the walk. You'll also hear from me as I chip in a bit of context about the route, and from other members of the group that will share their experiences of the senses, and also some information about the wildlife that's surrounding the area where we'll be walking. So, without further ado, let's put our best foot forward and go in search of our senses in the city of York. I'll pass over to Sheridan, who's going to talk a little bit about the wildlife that uses what is known as a blue corridor.
And there's all sorts of wildlife that live on it, in it, on it and around it. Any ideas?
So there's an otter at Acaster Malbay. Sometimes it comes further in. But if you sit on where the boats are moored, just near where the ship inn is, you can see it may or may not come to see. It came and say hello to us. So,
mink.
Oh, yes, they're in town, aren't they?
Yes.
Tansy.
Probably voles somewhere. I haven't seen one, but I'm sure there'll be voles somewhere along the river.
Mice.
Or if not on the Foss.
The other thing I wanted to point out here was this. Foss.
Oh yeah.
Which is wonderful this time of year, and it's quite an uplifting fact about winter is that moss continues growing throughout the winter. And in fact, if it's under places like trees that were shaded, it gets greener. So if anyone feels free to have a feel of the moss, they're very welcome.
They had someone on the television recently with moss, and they had this very dried up moss that had been in their collection in a museum. And they poured water on it, and it came back to life and started photosynthesizing.
Incredible, and that's exactly what they will do when it starts raining again.
Oh, they're like older, I think. Oh, oh, they're off this tree.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. So what is this tree?
It's maple, as far as I know.
Canadian. Why has it got these funny, funny bobbles on it?
I don't know.
These things.
They're seeds.
Yeah, but they're not like maple, are they?
No, but it's definitely maple. It's a Canadian maple, though. I'll explain why in a second.
Okay.
So, it's got really not just unusual leaves, but unusual seed balls as well. Like little spiny urchins.
Oh, yeah.
Very odd. So these are the memorial gardens dedicated to everyone who died in World War I, and it's the appropriate time of year as well. Have you all been here before?
We've come at it from the other side. Yeah, I was here for remembrance once, laying wreaths and things, and they had big guns.
Well, it's a lovely, peaceful green space in a very busy part of town between the train station and the city. It's mainly laid to lawn, but there were some wonderful trees around the outside, and some lovely maples in particular. And the reason is, apparently, in 1971, the Borough of York in Toronto dedicated loads of Canadian maple trees.
Mm.
And they're planted here.
Amazing.
Nice.
And I only found out because there is a plaque by that tree.
Which had survived.
But this one, the leaves here are amazing. Like five-pointed stars, aren't they? Mm.
Do you remember plant a tree in 73?
No.
Plant some more in 74. Still alive in 75.
Brilliant, where's that from?
Well, it was an advertising campaign back in the 70s.
What, for planting trees?
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't sort of carry on.
Still alive in 75 meant you had to water them.
I love the way this tree has sort of, it's in layers. You can see the bottom layer yellow and it gets redder and redder and redder as you go up. It's just fantastic. It's shade, colours.
So just the last thing to mention is one of the wonderful things about autumn is the colours. And the way the leaves go from yellow to orange to red is energising. And just at a time of year when we need it. Because we were having a chat beforehand, weren't we, Dawn, about how slightly depressing it is?
Yes.
Because the nights go darker. And that's one of the benefits of getting outside, because everything, you feel uplifted because of all the colours.
I quite like the dark.
From the beautifully colourful Canadian maple in the Memorial Gardens, we made our way up the river a little bit further and then crossed over the bridge. And just as we were crossing, a train came past, which was perfect timing. Then we made our way down the other side of the river, heading towards the museum gardens, but along the way stopped at a very picturesque point.
Because it's such a lovely view. When we did the recce for the walk, we were thinking it looked a bit like Paris, you know, with the gorgeous heritage Lendal Bridge stretching across the river and the tree-lined boulevard by the riverside.
We just need some bouquinistes.
Need some what, sorry?
Bouquinistes, you know, the bookstalls.
Oh, yes. And a few buskers.
Possibly.
Maybe.
With an accordion.
And this tree we're under is a...
sycamore, by the look of it?
Yeah, a sycamore. And the thing I learnt recently about sycamore leaves is that I like the sycamore. It's much maligned as a tree. It's absolutely beautiful in the autumn. And it has a red stalk. Which in the autumn sets off the yellow leaves perfectly.
And you see the black spots that are on them? This is a disease which only happens when the air is clean.
From the Parisian riverside of York, we headed into the museum gardens, where we met up with a group from MySight York, who joined us for the rest of the walk. Whilst in the museum gardens, we went in search of some beautiful trees, some of them incredibly rare. We also stumbled across a little grotto, which felt like you were walking into a fairy tale. And we also wandered into the little sensory herb garden behind the art gallery in York. Here's Sheridan with a bit more information.
I'm going to start though with a little bit of history about the museum gardens. So there's some dates in here, and I'm sure there are some historians in the group, so please correct me if I'm wrong. But basically the first big event happened here in about 1088, when they founded St Mary's Abbey. And those are the big arch-like ruins behind us that we'll walk past in a minute. And it was the richest Benedictine abbey in the north. And in fact, not only rich, but it had a reputation for decadence. Did you know this?
No.
They had a brewery here, and apparently monks got fairly drunk from time to time.
Daily.
Daily, yes.
Well, you couldn't drink the water.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. So beer was the healthiest option.
Yeah.
I'll remember that. They also liked visitors, and they built several places to house their visitors. One behind us here, St Mary's Lodge. It's a big stone brick building. And also just down the slope, there's a slope that leads down towards the river. There's a wonderful old timber stone brick building. Sorry, timber and stone building, and that's called the Hospitium. And it's an interesting source of word, because quite a few people think it is a hospital because of Hospitium, but actually it comes from hospitality. So it's where they used to house all their guests, and everyone used to have a nice time together, so I hear. So the abbey was dissolved in 1540 by Henry VIII, and it became a visiting place for the king when he visited. And then it fell into disrepair, and it's ruined today. But we and a lot of people in York now know this area best, not as St Mary's Abbey, but as the Museum Gardens. And that was the next interesting stage, which was the land was acquired by... Do you know who acquired the land next? Anyone? Any ideas? The Yorkshire Philosophical Society.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1830s. And they wanted to build a big building to house all their artifacts. But one of the conditions of building that was that they establish a botanical gardens as well. So that was the start of the museum gardens. and it's now managed by Yorkshire Museum Trust, and it is the most... I've never been inside the museum, Yorkshire Museum. I find the gardens far more interesting, and it's a fascinating collection of beautiful and very rare trees and plants. And in fact, we're standing by one of them. And this is the glorious tulip tree, which is Gabby is modelling and stroking. Do you want to repeat what you said about the leaf?
It's shaped like a tulip.
And it's really interesting because children often draw tulips like this.
Yeah.
Yes. But actually, it's not the reason the tulip tree's got its name. Actually, it has flowers shaped like tulips.
Oh.
But I find the leaves more interesting, actually. So at the top of the leaf, the reason it's quite unusual, the top... a tree leaf usually has a pointed end, pointed outward, but this one has an indent, pointed inwards. So that's why it's so unusual. If you can hear me over the bells, it could be an interesting sound. So this is a probably about 50 to 100 year old copper beech tree. And beeches live for a long time, several hundred years. And they're beautiful, beautiful trees. And one of their highlights is their smooth green-grey bark. But this one, as you can see, has been taken advantage of by human beings. We've carved all the way around it. Because it's very easy to carve writing on the smooth green-grey bark. And if you come around this side and have a feel of the bark, there's a couple of hearts carved into it. Lovers, no doubt. Name that bird.
Robin.
They created this area as a storytelling area, but I like to call it the Grotto of the Squirrels. Because every time you come in here, there are squirrels everywhere. I've counted almost 20 once. Absolutely incredible. And if you stay still and quiet for long enough, they often come up to you.
Yeah.
Although maybe not today, because we have a dog in our midst, yes. Who is being very still and quiet there. So this is a wonderful, peaceful area to come whenever you visit the museum gardens. And in the summer, it's lovely and cool and shaded. It's surrounded by a circle of yew and holly trees. And I think it's just got a beautiful feel to it. Then have a stroll around the garden now closest to the museum road into town. And we'll walk past five champion trees. So these are really interesting trees that were selected, and some of them were specially grafted by the Yorkshire Philosophical Society. And one of them is the only tree of its kind, apparently, called the pear-barked beech. But we'll look at that as we go up to the top of the museum gardens. So this is another of the champion trees, and it's my favourite tree ever. probably not actually, but it's called a Gabby.
Pear-barked beech. Two trees being grafted. You can see them. Yeah, you can how see it changes.
So wow. The tree as a whole looks like a copper beech tree. It's really tall. It's got drooping branches and wonderful coppery coloured leaves. But if you look at the bark, the main trunk, the bottom 2 metres is beech bark. So that smooth grey green bark we saw before. But above it, there's a totally different sort of bark, which is a rough pear bark, which covers the trunk and the branches of the rest of the tree. So this is two trees grafted together.
From the large grand champion trees in between the museum and the river, we headed through a little wooded glade underneath some beautiful glowing lanterns that lit our way along the path as the sun started to dip, and we went in search of the fernery and a few more exotic trees.
So they call this in the museum gardens the fernery, but I think it's better referred to as the fossil corner, because there are several types of plant here that have their origins in fossils over 200 million years old. So can anyone guess what they are? You'll probably get two. There's three main ones. You'll get two, but you won't get three.
Ferns,
yes. Mm-hmm. So ferns are an ancient species of plants, as you know, and we'll have a feel of them in a minute. There's also a very special tree that was the only tree to survive Hiroshima, in fact, and it was believed to be extinct until found in a Chinese monastery. Any ideas about that one?
Ginkgo.
And the third one is one I only discovered two weeks ago. I benefited from attending a walk that the garden manager here did, so that's where I got a lot of my understanding from. Apparently there's a tree called a Wollami pine tree. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, my friend in Australia was trying to preserve them.
They were thought to be extinct until 1994, a bushwalker discovered one outside Sydney.
Yes, mm-hmm. In the Blue Mountains.
And all of a sudden they became very, very expensive. Yeah, and they're named after the Wollami National Park. And there actually is a specimen in the corner here we'll have a look at. But I think ginkgo's my favourite tree, well, apart from the beech, actually. It's a close thing. But does anyone know any more facts about the ginkgo? It's a really interesting tree.
It smells, the fruit smells.
Unpleasant. Yes. Unpleasant. Yes. Unpleasant. Yes. Yes. Stinks,
actually.
Yeah.
Get a lot of them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What about the shape of the leaves? What about the shape?
It's sort of bifold leaves, so they have a dip in the middle and they curl out and around. So that's the leaf shape. And the veins go like that. Mm. They don't have a one central with branches off it. They just have lots of little veins that stick out like that.
And it's the leaves that have the herbal properties, so it's used for herbal medicine as well, and that comes from the leaves, apparently.
Not the fruit, no.
Well, no, there used to be a grove of them in a park in Auckland, and which fruited, and it all fell down the ground, and you wouldn't go near there normally. But the Asian community used to go and gather them up and cook them for some purpose.
As I mentioned on the York Cemetery walk, there are ginkgo trees across York. So there are three ginkgos in these gardens. You'll have to find the other two yourselves. A reason for coming back. There's one in Roundtree Park, two in Goddard's, and did we establish how many in?
At least two in the Homestead Park.
So it's a reason to, to go walking to see if you can find another ginkgo tree. And this time of year, they're stunning. The one in the corner here is just changing from green to yellow. But in about 2 weeks' time, it goes, gold is the only word I can describe it. Absolutely beautiful gold. And it's one of the last trees to keep its leaves.
Its Latin name is Ginkgo biloba, which might be related to that shape you were talking about.
Just the last thing to mention about this area is that just mentioning the museum gardens, there's a squirrel hopping through the yew trees in front of us. They're actually making a special effort to make the gardens more biodiverse for wildlife. And this is one of the areas they're doing that. They're bulking up the planting, so there's more planting at lower level.
A squirrel just
leapt from one branch to another. They're doing more planting so that wildlife can hide in it during the day and get around easier. And also here they've established bird feeding stations and open pots of water. I think in old graves, actually. They're filling them with water.
Yeah. I like all these stones.
All these stones, upturned stones, for birds to feed from.
Serenaded by the kicking of leaves and, of course, the bells that continued to chime in the background, we made our way from the fernery round the front of the museum to the grand ruins of St Mary's Abbey.
You can probably tell it feels very different from the other areas because it's quite a wide open space, actually. And there's a bit, little bit more breeze, although the bells are still going. So the Benedictine monks, they lived around here for about 3 centuries, I think we said. They lived and they died around here. Guess where they're buried? Yes. Right under our feet. And I always find this a very special, almost spiritual place, actually, next door to St Mary's Church, which has not been allowed to go into ruin, luckily. And it's a very special place for bike bells as well, because in 2017 we created a labyrinth here, a grass mown labyrinth. Do you remember, Nikki?
No.
Did you ever come?
No, I went to the labyrinth at the front.
Roundtree.
At the front of King's Manor.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Just recently.
Last year.
Oh, didn't, oh yes. Oh,
they marked it with kind of sawdust.
Oh, okay. We actually made a circular labyrinth in here. So a labyrinth is a winding path. It's different from a maze in that a maze has dead ends, but a labyrinth... It's called the one path, and you know that if you start walking it, you will always get to the centre, which is a lovely message, actually. And I came here once and met several people doing yoga in the centre, and where we're standing now is about where the centre of the labyrinth was.
It must have been quite big.
It was very big, yeah.
Is that why they haven't built on it? Is it consecrated then?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we found out quite recently, didn't we, that you can't dig down into consecrated ground. And there's another green space in York where, in order to plant plants, they brought in soil on top of the consecrated ground. But it's a lovely space. Lovely space here. So just a short walk now to the what they call the edible wood. But it's actually... an edible bank more than a wood, I think. And it all the plants in there were chosen for their herbal and edible value. Although please be careful before you eat them because they're not all edible. But also their architectural value. Some of the plants are amazing shapes. Find.
Quince tree.
Hunger.
Marjoram. Medlar.
Yeah. Medlar.
Sage.
Sage.
Rose hips.
Oregano vulgar.
Sunflowers.
Just the
VR.
Rose hips. And did anyone take anything home with them for tea?
Yes.
<No.
laughs>
Did someone mention sage and pasta?
Yummy.
I don't know. Sage and pasta.
Sage and it's delicious. And butter.
And hot butter.
Mm.
Butter.
Lentils.
Sage with some gnocchi the other day as well. Mm. Oh, yes.
With butter.
With the lights starting to fade and even the sound of the bells stopping in the background, there was only a short part of our walk left to do as we made our way back through the leaves crunching underfoot via the ruins of St Mary's Abbey once again to our final point on the walk, the entrance to York Museum. Here we could look back at the route that we'd taken and remember all of the amazing senses that we'd aroused on our way round, from the beautiful feeling of the bark of the trees to the amazing shapes of the leaves that we found along the way. Not to mention the sounds of the birds and the beautiful autumnal smells that hit our noses as we were wandering round, not to mention those beautifully pungent herbs that we've just been discussing. I do hope you've enjoyed this audio walk, which was a collaboration between Open Country, My Site York and York Bike Bells. For more information about our charities, please check out opencountry.org.uk, where you can find more of these audio walks, yorkbikebells.community, and mysiteyork.org. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, it's goodbye for now.